Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we begin the seventh chapter of Mark, Mark chapter 7. Today our focus is on verses 1 through 13. Beginning with chapter 6, we studied about discipleship. We studied about family. Jesus showed the disciples that if you're going to walk with him, you're going to be rejected by those closest to you. Secondly, he taught them how to live by faith, to go out and serve him without physical or material provisions, so that they might learn that the Lord provides for you as you go and when you go, trusting him for your security and for your provisions. And then we studied the fate of John the Baptizer, who faithfully served the Lord and sacrificed his life along with the other disciples for the sake of the gospel. So you and I have the privilege, the opportunity to be public and to worship and to study God's word based on the sacrifices. And Jesus was telling the disciples, there are going to be sacrifices. And we also studied about the feeding of the 5,000 and how the Lord again placed the disciples in a situation where it was beyond their authority and control. But John chapter 6, verse 6 tells us, the Lord himself knew what he was going to do. Even though the disciples did not know what to do, nor did they have the resources and means to do it. The Lord was teaching them again that he knows what he's going to do in our situations before we even get there. So he asks us to trust him, the one who already knows the answer, the one who already has the resources and provision to bring about his will. And the Lord is teaching us that every situation and circumstance has been created by him to show us that only our trust in him and faith in him and committing all things into his hands is where we experience the peace of Christ and how it means to walk by faith. It's just trust him with everything. Now today we enter into a whole new area, a whole new arena. We have seen the importance of responding to his word, walking with the Lord, trusting him in circumstances, believing those circumstances are teaching us to trust him and reveal who Jesus is to us. So now we enter into opposition. So chapter 6 is all about discipleship. What to expect as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But in chapter 7, we enter into a section which presents opposition to Jesus. Those who oppose and who are walking and talking, this is about religious opposition. Religion is the greatest enemy of the Christian faith. Some people think Satan is the greatest enemy. But Satan is the most religious being there is. Everything he does is done through a religious means. During the tribulation period, he's going to help the Jews rebuild their Antichrist is going to help the Jews rebuild their temple. And then once it's rebuilt, he's going to set up his image in the Holy of Holies. And he's going to make it on the earth that you must take the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, to function and participate with the economy of the world. But in order to get the number, and this is what most people don't realize, in order to get the number, you have to worship his image. You have to join his religious cult and bow down and worship his image in order to get the number, to function that way. So it's all religious. Most of the wars of the earth that are going on right now are done under the name of religion. We even have different religious systems as Christians. We have different religious systems with their traditions, just as Jesus is talking about here for us. We need to realize that religion can be a trap. A religious system can be a trap. Someone wrote on the internet the other day, he says, I'm tired of my church and all of its religious traditions. I think I'd rather just follow Jesus. I thought to myself, that's pretty good to see the difference. For today, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. The confrontation over defilement, part 1. Verses 1 through 4, we have the circumstances. First of all, verses 1 through 4, but we're going to take verses 1 and 2. And the Pharisees and some of the scribes are gathering together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Remember, this is up in Galilee, so they had to travel from Jerusalem in order to get up to Jesus. And having seen some of his disciples eating bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed hands, they found fault. Now, we're talking about religious washing. Religious baptisms, as we will see in verse 4. They're called baptisms. The Jews had many baptisms, many things that they ceremonially baptized in order to consider them religiously clean to use. We're not talking about like what we do when our kids come in from playing outside and they don't wash their hands and they broke the house rules. We're talking about the religious rules and regulations of the Jews. Verse 3 says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they should wash the hands with the fist. Notice what the literal translation is. The other English translations say how they wash their hands often. They don't mention the fist. Or they wash their hands in a special way, one text says. It's literally they wash their hands with the fist, holding the tradition of the elders. So the incident that brought about confrontation was a tradition that the Jews have that is being ceremonially clean in all that they do. Notice the literal translation. Wash the hands with the fist. And that's the literal translation of the Greek text. Now what they did was, They didn't just wash hands like we do. You know, we wash our hands and then we soap up and then we rinse off. They took their fist under running water and then scrubbed and scraped their hands to ceremonially get all the evil off and be religiously cleansed. So they would take their fist and scrub the hand, indicating they're scrubbing off evil so that they can use their hands for eating or for whatever they wanted to use it for. They would hold their hands in a certain way, and the water would roll down to the wrist. And when it started dripping, they knew that they had covered all the surfaces. So they would scrape their wrist, their hands, and they would hold their hands in a prayer position and let the water run down. Once the water reached their wrist, they would reverse it, and the water would run down the other direction. This is to assure them that they have covered all the surfaces. They covered all the skin area, and it was all scrubbed with the fist so they would be ceremonially clean when they ate. It had nothing to do with physical purity or making sure the dirt or bacteria was washed off. It had to do with being clean when they ate, so that whatever they touched was now ceremonially or religiously cleansed. And whatever they ate, it would not defile them religiously. Verse 4. And coming from the market, if they should not wash themselves. That word wash is the word baptizo, where we get our word baptize. They would baptize themselves. If they didn't do that, they did not eat. And there are many other things which they received to hold, like the washing of cups and pitchers and copper utensils and even beds. They had baptisms for each one of these things. They have special ceremonial baptizings. The Jews had many baptisms. They washed their dishes. They baptized their pitchers, their copper utensils, and even couches and beds. They would take their beds and their couches and they would have to baptize them so that they could sleep on them again. Because in their minds, they were defiled and religiously unclean. So when they saw the disciples eating, they said they did not perform this baptismal ceremony on their hands. They just ate. Mark chapter 7, verse 5. The confrontation. Then the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but with unwashed hands they eat bread?" Notice what it says. It was the tradition of the elders. It's not what God's word says. It's not what the law says. It's the tradition of the elders. Why do your disciples not keep the tradition of the elders? It is how the elders handed down to the people. If you want to be sure in the sight of God that there are the rules and regulations, here are the traditions. So they came to Jesus and they said, "Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They do not wash before they eat." Then verses 6 through 13, the correction by Jesus. Verses 6 and 7, And when he answered them to that, he said, well did Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it has been written. And this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13. This people honors me with the lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. That's a quote from Isaiah's prophecy. And he says, well did he say it concerning you. The word hypocrites is not a sarcastic term. The word hypocrite means actor. That's what the Greek word means. It means to answer according to the script. Hypocrisies. Somebody who just goes through the religious routine as an actor. In other words, they act the way they're supposed to act. But we're going to see in a moment, but their heart is far from the Lord. And that's what the Lord's concerned about. They are acting the role, but they're not the real thing. He says, in the quote from Isaiah, you honor me with their lips. They worship me and you honor me, but your heart is far from me. That is the issue here. The Lord is interested only in our hearts. We question the Lord sometimes. Lord, don't you care? Look at my life. Look at the pain I'm suffering. Look at the hardship I suffer. Lord, don't you care? You know what he cares about? My heart. Not the one that pumps blood, but my spirit, my soul, the heart of me as a being, where I have communion and reactions in response to Jesus Christ. So if I ever ask the question, Lord, why me? Why is this happening to me? It's because the issue is my heart. It's always happening because of my heart. It's always happening because he wants to get my attention and even make changes to my heart and my relationship in response to him. It also tells me that I can sit through a religious type service. I can go through the motions of worship to the Lord. I can go through the motions of church. I can go through the motions of doing my duty as a Christian, and it could not be from the heart. It's a problem. I really try to stay away from the phrase, you need to act like a Christian. Many people act like Christians. They're actors. They go and hear the word and learn how we're supposed to act and then make changes, but it doesn't come from the heart. Sure, he blesses his word, and sure, he loves to be worshiped, and yes, we need to pray together, but the real issue is the heart. Did it come from the heart? In everyday life, what is the heart like? If you ever read Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah brought the message of God when he came to the people. He said, I'm tired of all the sacrifices. But didn't God say to make the sacrifices? Yes, but he says, I'm tired of all the sacrifices. Every day you bring sacrifices and you have worship, and I'm tired of it. Your heart is far from me. All you bring is dead animals and go through the motions. Your heart is far from me. So Jesus quotes Isaiah 29:13 and says, that's you going through the motions, but your heart is far from me. Verse 8, for having left the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things like things you do. And he was saying to them, well, do you set aside the commandment of God? in order that you might observe your tradition. You've set the commandment of God aside so that you can keep your tradition. You do that well, he's telling them. Verse 9, first of all, for by the traditions of the elders, you have canceled out the word of God. And here is the example that he used in verse 10. This is from a quote from Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, and Exodus chapter 21, verse 17. Two quotes. Verse 10. And Moses said, honor your father and your mother. That's from Exodus 20, verse 12. And the one speaking evil of father or mother, let him end by death. That's Exodus 21, verse 17. Verses 11, 12, and 13. But you yourselves say, this is what Moses said, but you yourselves say, if a man should say to his father or mother, Korban, which is translated gift, whatever you might have profited from me, and you no longer allow him to do anything for his father or his mother, making void the word of God by your traditions, which you handed down, and many such things you do. So there's many other things that you do by your traditions, which violate the word of God. So Moses said, honor your father and your mother. So the elders said, what you're supposed to do to help your mother and father out, but if you come and take your money and dedicate it to God, it is called Korban. That is a gift to God. Korban is a special word for going to the temple and dedicating something to God that is only used for God's purposes. So you can come and lay your money or a gift on the altar, whatever your gift is, and give the priests a little on the side. They have to charge for this kind favor. And then they will allow you to take the gifts back and use it for yourself any way you want. And you can go to your parents and you can say, whatever would have profited you from me, I'm sorry, but I dedicated it to God. It's a gift to God. So this belongs to God because it was dedicated to him. But it was given back to me to use as I see fit. Therefore, I can't help you because it now belongs to God. So it's not mine anymore. Even though I have taken it home and I'm using it, so that kept a person from honoring his mother and father. And so by tradition, that is the traditions of the minister and the priest of the church, what they make up. You don't have to help mother and father anymore. So it is disobedience to God's word, but is a tradition that cancels out what God's word says. Now there are many religious traditions that we hold, even as Christians. Most of the activities are not found in the Word of God, but are tradition, way we've always done things. Most of the differences between churches is traditional practice. What activities and the way we do things, strictly by tradition. Jesus spoke against tradition. Says the emphasis ought to be the Word of God. Where does it say that in the Word of God? Where does it command us to do such things? Interesting, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, the writer of Hebrews mentioned the fact that we will leave the beginnings of the principles of Christ and move on to maturity if God permits us to. Leaving off repentance towards sin, faith towards God, and baptisms, plural, the many baptisms that the Jews had. He said, you have to move beyond that. You got to go past that. You have to move into maturity, spiritual maturity, and not religious tradition. It's a message that rings clear even today, especially from our text here. Next week, we'll finish out this section on defilement. But just know, what is the Lord interested with each one of us? The Lord is interested in our hearts. He wants our heart. He doesn't want our car or our house or our wallet. He wants our heart. And all the issues of life flow out from the heart. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and for your correction, for your enlightenment as to the importance of a right heart in relationship with you. We pray that your Spirit would create in us a clean heart, a right heart, that we would learn to respond to you from out of our heart and worship you from out of our heart and not just go through the motions. We thank you for your faithfulness to perform all these things because you care about us, especially about our heart response to Christ. We just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.